Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
If it takes a little Tone Loc, but that's the name of this group, right? Or guy. Is it a group or a guy? See, I suck at my pop culture sometimes. At least tell me you're impressed, though, that I could call up the name of the artist, even if it's just one person or a group. Shoot, now that's going to bother me. Someone help. Is Tone Loc one guy? Does he have any other hits besides that one? Anyway, on that note, and me being an idiot, good morning. Welcome to your Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I am so excited to have this debate with you about Ben Simmons. I actually think it's probably a debate that the Sixers have had internally themselves. And it certainly sounds like Doc Rivers and, of course, upper management has decided that Ben Simmons is worth the investment. And I would agree. Are you really ready to throw out an all-star point guard? That sounds weird. Are you really ready to part ways with an all-star point guard who's also a great defender, who is unconventional and atypical? Yes. But that doesn't mean he can't be a valuable commodity. It worked well enough for them to be a top seed and to be one of the best teams in the East over the last several years. Now, is that where the money's won? No. I mean, you're not going to win a championship by having the best record in the East. And not just Ben Simmons, but the other Sixers, their deficiencies were completely exposed under a white, harsh spotlight. That whole ship started to sink going back to game four and game five, not just on Ben Simmons. I mean, I talked about it after game number five, that Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid combined for one field goal in the fourth quarters of games four and five. So it's not all on Ben Simmons. But typically, as sports fans, we're like a dog with a really tasty bone. We chew up one idea and we leave it with teeth marks until we've decided there's nothing left to chew on. And so here I am, and I'm not playing devil's advocate. I actually do believe this. At 24 years old, with $140 million and 4 years still invested in this guy, I don't think you can give up, especially when Doc Rivers has only had 1 year with the team. It's definitely a confidence issue. It's mental. We know that. Why? Because, as I mentioned before the top of the hour, that's the only way he stops himself mid-stride, a foot from the basket, and doesn't go for a layup and doesn't try to dunk the ball. Whether it's because he didn't want to end up on the free throw line, whether it's because he was that far down the road with a lack of confidence, whatever it is. But you don't throw out all of the positive because the negatives have been put right under the microscope. He's long, he's lengthy, he's got great size and reach. He's a good defender and a really difficult matchup for many point guards in the NBA for that reason. He's a gifted passer, obviously a strong rebounding guard. Any given night, he can give you a triple-double. Do you need him to be Steph Curry? Well, if you did, you drafted the wrong guy. But regardless, that's not what you are looking to Ben Simmons to do. I understand the prototype in the NBA these days. I get it. We're in the age of the point guard, where the point guard is very often the best player on the team. But it doesn't have to be that way. There's more than one way to win a championship. There's more than one way to win a game in the sport. You know what Ben Simmons is. You know what he brings to the table. I think there's more positive than negative. He's atypical, absolutely. But that's also a strength. That's also a benefit. And if Doc Rivers is willing to work with him and they can get him the best resources that money can buy and they pour into him this offseason and he is willing to do the work, then they're going to find out if he can get past this. They're going to find out whether he can fight through and turn this failure, not just his, but he was a part of it. Can they turn this failure into a stepping stone, into a building block, into a motivation? I mean, come on, most athletes are familiar with failure. If you're not, then you're never going to get to this level. That's just a part of the deal. It comes with the territory. You fail far more than you succeed if you have any kind of a career with longevity. And confidence is so important. You have to believe in yourself when nobody else does. So you get him whatever he needs. You work with him nonstop over this offseason. He's willing to forego the Olympics, according to reports. And then you decide. But even those of you who have called up to say, no way, it can't be fixed, there's still some hesitation there because you don't actually know. There's been a lot of change around him. Of course, he had a couple of injuries. If you're the Sixers, you can't just throw in the towel unless you're sure. And clearly they're not. Doc Rivers has said as much. And Ben Simmons, has said he understands there's work to be done. It's not like he's under any illusions that this was all somebody else's fault. I mean, the young man wants to do the work. It was the perfect storm. And so now, can they find a way through this? I think they can, especially if you have an athlete who's not only understanding what went wrong, but willing to make the changes. That's half the battle right there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Landmark ruling from the Supreme Court that affects college athletes. So we'll get to that before the bottom of the hour. I do want to take your phone calls as well. And we've also been talking about the Sticky Patrol, the Sticky Brigade. I can't decide which one I like better in Major League Baseball. But every time I look up, so I have a couple of different TV networks up, like turned on here in my studio. One of them is MLB Network. I swear to you, every single time I glance at the TV, another pitcher is undoing his belt buckle. Not something I've ever seen in baseball before, but that's where we're at. If you didn't know, Monday was the first day of the Sticky Brigade, and now umpires can randomly check. In fact, it's not very random if you know it's coming. Umpires are being asked to check pitchers' hats, gloves, and belts when they come off the field. Did you know? I didn't know this, but now I know. Now they know. You can be checked twice in the same game. So for any pitchers who thought, oh, once my umpire has checked me and given me the green light to go back to pitching, found nothing, then I can go put some, what is it? What did Jeff Blum tell us? Bullfrog spray sunscreen on the baseball or some Spidey scents? I like that better than Spider Tech. And so now you can get checked more than once, and I don't know how long it is before a pitcher attempts to fool the Sticky Brigade and tries to defy the Sticky Brigade. Or maybe they come up with nothing because all the pitchers knew that this was inevitable. Commissioner Manfred says warnings did nothing. So this is their next step. But it is kind of funny. And you can see the smiles on the faces. And actually in the Mets-Braves game, so they had a doubleheader on Monday, the first half, it was Jacob deGrom against a guy making his first major league start, Kyle Muller for the Braves. They both got checked. Everybody got checked. So it's a new era in Major League Baseball. Let's just get on with it and then go back to focusing on some of the bright young superstars. I honestly feel like Major League Baseball is doing too much to accentuate the negatives and not doing enough to highlight the positives in its game. May end up being Rob Manfred's legacy. If you haven't voted for our Man Crush Monday, we'll reveal that before the end of this hour. And then let's see what else. Oh, couple of notes. The Arizona Diamondbacks finally won a game. Period. That's the whole sentence. That's the news right there. The Diamondbacks snapped their 17-game losing streak. So that was huge. And in the Stanley Cup semis, this is one of those games where I don't think you need to go back and watch the tape if you're the Islanders. Everything that could possibly go wrong did. But a couple of things that I'll say about the Tampa Bay Lightning, not only did they have their second line and pretty much everybody else contribute in this game in which they beat the Isles 8-0, they put themselves in a phenomenal position, right? Because what do we know about 7-game series in which they're tied going into game 5? Regardless of hoops or hockey, and so the number may be off by a couple of percentage points, but generally the winner of game 5 goes on to advance. It's like 82-83% of the time. Sometimes it's even higher, again, depending on which sport you're looking at. And so the Lightning did what they needed to do, but here's what really impresses me about Tampa Bay, the defending Stanley Cup champions. In the last 2 years, so 2020 season and now this season, after a loss in the playoffs, they are undefeated. They're perfect. They're 13-0 after losing a playoff game. They don't lose back-to-back playoff games. That's an incredible sign of a mature team, a team with resilience, a team with veterans and leadership and a ton of experience. And here are the Islanders in the exact same spot they were last fall. I was going to say a year ago, but last fall in the bubble in Edmonton. Facing a game 6. Now, this time, they get to play game 6 at what's been a raucous Nassau Coliseum. One of the best atmospheres we've seen, regardless of hoops, hockey, arena, team, whatevs. The Islanders fans have done their team proud, and they're going to need all of that. It's going to be a special kind of loud for game number 6. Game number 7, by the way, would be on Friday if we get to that point. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's do a couple of calls here before we get to our next break. Is it Ali in Miami?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Wonderful. I just want to say that you're amazing, Amy, and you definitely predicted what Miami Heat were going to do.
I remember this call. Ago. Were you asking me like a month before the trade deadline what the Heat should do?
Yeah. Exactly. You remember it. Awesome. But yeah, I love your aspect, but let's just say that when it comes to Ben Simmons, it's player development. They've been trying to develop him for years, right? Years. He's been attempting to have a shot. He's been attempting to try to have a three-point shot. And the organization is really done with trying to attempt. They've been attempting to work with him. And overall, when it comes to Ben Simmons, he did not attempt when it comes to the playoffs. He did not attempt to do anything when it comes to the playoffs. So when it comes to Ben Simmons, I mean, it's a matter of, okay, yeah, they have a lot of money invested. But let's look at what they can get. Right, because they've invested the time, they've invested the money. They have to look at what they can get, you know.
They're not going to get a whole lot right now. It doesn't matter. They're not going to get a whole lot right now because everybody saw what you are talking about. Now, I think you're going a little extreme here. Nothing. He did nothing. I mean, that's not true. In the playoffs, he averaged 12 points, 9 assists, and 9 rebounds. And I get it. He's not your top scoring threat, but you also have an NBA MVP finalist with Joel Embiid, who is doing the yeoman's work when it comes to scoring, not to mention Tobias Harris. Isn't that why you brought in Seth Curry? So you could have a sharpshooter from the outside. They're not asking Ben Simmons to be Steph Curry. They're not asking him to be a sharpshooter from beyond three-point land. They've never asked him to be that, and Doc Rivers has said as much. They do want him to be better at the free throw line. So Doc had said going back to the beginning of the season that they would like him to be on the line 10 times per game, meaning he can go to the hoop. He can use his size to get close to the rim, to be aggressive. He's a great passer. He's a really strong defender, all NBA defender in his short time in the league. I mean, I disagree with you. If you're asking him to be a three-point shooter, well, yes, you're going to fail because that's not his skill. Does it mean he'll never hit a three? No, but that's not his game. So yeah, if you're asking him to be someone completely different, well then yes, you're setting yourself up for failure, but I don't think that's what they're asking Ben Simmons to be.
They ain't going to be a facilitator. And
that's what he is.
As a facilitator, he doesn't have to shoot threes, but he has to facilitate, right? He has to make sure that he gets those jump shots, that he's aggressive. And he wasn't, point blank.
A facilitator and jump shots are two completely different things, man.
But at the end of the day, he wasn't aggressive. And 6 to 7 points in the last, how many games? 3 games in the last playoff games. He wasn't doing anything. It's as if he wasn't there. And that's the whole thing. I mean, he should have at least scored double digits. At least.
So easy to do. Again, I am with you. He got exposed in the postseason, but they were also the top team in the East this year, and he was a big part of that. So you have all of this body of work from what Philadelphia did during the regular season, what he did during the regular season as an all-star player versus the playoffs. Now, I get it. That's where your money is made. But I disagree with you that there's not enough positive to work with him. I just do. I don't think it's, in my opinion, I don't think it's time to just trash the whole experiment.
Of course. Well, they can't. They financially can't. You know, they don't have the ability to. So they have to definitely develop him. It's about player development. He has to develop his shot. I heard a story about him changing his shot from right-handed to left-handed. I mean, that was interesting. he definitely has to adjust his shot and develop. And it's about player development at the end of the day. They have to develop him to be a better player.
Or as you said, to start this call, that they should trade him. But I don't know that there's much of a trade market. I guess there could be some. I mean, this is just the first year with Doc Rivers. He's seen a bunch of different coaches. It's been a lot of change around Philadelphia. So I'm willing to cut him some slack. And again, he's just 24 years old. I don't know that it's time to pull the plug. But we will see. I mean, certainly there's a ticking clock now. This is not a, hey, we're going to invest in him forever. But I do believe it's worth another offseason of trying, especially with Doc Rivers, who was a point guard himself in the NBA. All right, Ali, thank you so much for your call from Miami. Billy finds me on Twitter and says, Tone Loc had two hits, Amy. He doesn't answer the question of whether or not Tone Loc is a guy or a group. I still don't know that. Wild Thing and Funky Cold Medina. Okay, I know both those songs. Fine, he had two hits. If, in fact, he is a he and not a they. Oh, gosh, we're not going to have a discussion about pronouns. Nope, that's a negative, Ghost Rider.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It was typical Jacob deGrom getting the side in order of the first, and guess what happened as he started off the mound? He became one of the first victims, and looking at the out-of-town scoreboard, I guess one of the first pitcher to have his glove and self inspected by the umpires for sticky substances at the end of the inning. Get used to it. Today's the first day of it.
You know, they said going into it they were going to check, and, you know, I expected it. You know, it is what it is, and they wanted to go ahead and check, and that was fine.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Doesn't matter if you're a Cy Young Award winner. Jacob deGrom, step right up. He said the umpire approached him, and he asked him, what do you need? And the ump said, your hat, your glove, your belt. And that happened all over Major League Baseball on Monday, the first day of the Sticky Brigade. More importantly for the Cy Young Award winner is the six strikeouts, the one hit in the five innings pitched. Remember, he'd been kind of in and out of starts. He'd been coming off the mound early after feeling some pain in his shoulder. That was not the case on Monday.
No, felt good. You know, that like I think that's why we decided at that 70 pitch mark to say that was enough. Didn't want to overdo it, and you know, talking to Hef and Louie in between, they said that they thought it was enough, and you know, I was like, all right.
I was like, all right. 70 pitches, baby steps. And so to get through his start, the start that they had for him without any shoulder issues, is a big deal for the Mets ace. And he probably wasn't in line to get checked twice by the Sticky Patrol. Some pitchers got checked twice just in case they decided that they would try to sneak a foreign substance onto their hats or belts or gloves after the initial check. Ooh, Major League Baseball, sneaky. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio on the Mets Radio Network. Howie Rose with the call. So it didn't take long before baseball to send out its umpires to do the dirty work. If you missed my conversation with longtime baseball slugger and former World Series champion Jeff Blum from Houston, he joined us earlier in the show once the Astros had grabbed their eighth consecutive win. And we had a really good conversation, insightful from his perspective. Why are pitchers using substances? Well, he'll give you an answer that maybe you weren't expecting. So we'll bring back part of that conversation at the bottom of the hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The NCAA got, I guess depending on your perspective, got a ruling that is almost like deregulation, or at least when it comes to the Supreme Court, upholding a lower court's ruling that the NCAA, the governing body of college athletics, is essentially being deregulated. So, man, all this stuff that's been considered cheating and recruiting violations, so many different coaches and boosters getting caught up in this web, all of that is about to go out the window. Here's Dennis Dodd, who covers college sports for CBS Sports HQ.
The NCAA had to know this day was coming. The case itself is not very broad. It just says the court upheld a lower court decision that, as you mentioned, schools can award for educational benefit, things like computers, internships, stuff like that. But it was the rebuke of the Supreme Court, 9-0 of their arguments that were so surprising. And now that combined with coming NIL legislation and the benefits that are going to come from that, it's basically going to be unlimited what players can earn while they're in school, which is probably the way it should be, because it's been hypocritical all these years for the NCAA and its rules to say athletes must conduct themselves and get no more benefits than the regular student. Now that's going to be the case. They can have their own YouTube channel. They can have their own business. They can model. They can have autographs. They can have endorsements. But this is, to me, Chris, this is the end of amateurism as we know it in the NCAA. Whether that's good or bad, it's just going to be a different NCAA.
Dennis Dodd on CBS Sports HQ. So essentially the Supreme Court ruling opens the doors for universities to give their athletes unlimited compensation. That's the wording. Unlimited compensation with this caveat, as long as it is in some way connected to their education. Right, so it has to be, talk about the loopholes that schools will come up with. They can recruit with all kinds of promises in ways that they can be compensated or various ways that they can go out and earn money as long as it relates to their education. And so here is the NCAA, over 100 years old, more and more opposition to this model of not compensating athletes for their likenesses or allowing them to earn any money on the side because they were getting a free ride and because they were getting to play under this amateur umbrella. That's going out the window. And so we're going to see college athletes in real high demand and schools promising this compensation or that, or we can offer you the best perks if you come here. So we'll see how it changes, not just recruiting, but how it changes the landscape of college athletics when it comes to football and basketball mostly. But you can imagine there'll be other sports that are doing the same thing to try to get the best and the brightest. And if you're asking me for my knee-jerk reaction, which maybe you are, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Thank you. It really is going to be a benefit even more so to the Power Five schools who have the kind of resources that they can offer to athletes and not have to worry about limitations or violations or being on a level playing field, right? I mean, those athletic departments that have billion-dollar budgets, they're the ones that can afford to make these pitches to athletes and provide this compensation and find some way that it revolves around their education, but to dress up their recruiting pitch so that I honestly think that you're going to have a smaller pool of schools that can really compete for the best high school athletes because they're the ones that can offer the shiny perks and the most compensation. I could be wrong, but it feels like the recruiting itself became less competitive with this. So we'll see how it's implemented. And I do appreciate the Supreme Court was completely united, right? Because that doesn't happen very often, but 9-0 decision. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Let's squeeze in one call here. Ramil's in Atlanta. What do you think about Ben Simmons?
Hey, Amy, how you doing?
Good.
I think with the Ben Simmons situation and with the question asking if it's fixable, I think it's a yes and a no. If you go in there with the expectation he's going to be this great shooter or even good shooter at that, then I would say no, it's not. But that's okay, though, because his game set and game style allows him to affect the game without being able to do that. And as far as fixing his fourth quarter woes, I think it's very possible to fix that because he already does it through the first three quarters. So I like that you keep pointing out that he's young. Not to say that he has this high ceiling of becoming a great shooter, but because the older you get, usually with anything you do in life, whatever job you get, you get better at it and more confident with it. So I think he'll be 100% okay. I mean, we never know what's going on. He's still a kid at the end of the day. I don't mean that with any disrespect.
I gotcha. I agree.
He's still a kid at the end of the day, so you never know what's affecting him outside of basketball and the big stage of basketball itself. So he doesn't have that, I'm not trying to be funny, but he doesn't have that old man confidence yet. So as he gets older, I think he'll be all right.
I like that, old man confidence. You're right. There's something to be said for the maturity of recognizing that, that it's not the end of the world when something doesn't go your way and that failure is not the end of your story. I mean, I think most people go through confidence crises of some sort or another, and I'm not just referring to athletes. But, yeah, you make a really good point, Ramil. They're not asking him to be the best three-point shooter in the NBA. I just tweeted that. They're not asking him to be Steph Curry. He doesn't need to be Steph Curry. In fact, I would say if your game revolves around a big man like Joel Embiid, who is a load for any defense, who is a matchup nightmare, don't you want a point guard who sets him up more than you want a point guard who shoots a three? I mean, I would think you'd want the ball in Joel's hands as much as possible. And also, that's why they brought in Seth Curry. Now, it ultimately didn't work out, but man, it was good enough for them to be the top seed in the East this year.
Exactly. I think he'll be all right. It's just everybody looking at those fourth quarter woes and let's get rid of him. But what he did through quarter one through three was okay. I mean, he's all right. He's just young still.
He is young, and I can tell that he wants to work on it, which matters to me. If I'm his coach and I'm his boss, that matters to me.
Exactly.
All right, man.
My call, Amy.
Good to talk to you in Atlanta. Thanks so much.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Winner, chicken and waffle dinner.
A swing and a drive. Away back. Goal.
That's nasty, stinky. Boom, baby.
His jaw-dropping heroics made us swoon this weekend. It's time for Man Crush Monday on After Hours.
As a father on my first Father's Day with my dad here, to get this one done the way I did, you know, on top of that, you add the fact that we got engaged here as well. And, you know, I have a very happy life. I have, you know, I can say I'm extremely happy off the golf course, but this one might steal the show for a couple of days.
In other words, John Rahm is still pretty giddy over his first major win. First Spaniard to claim the U.S. Open. He birdies 17 and 18. And this coming just 2 weeks after he is forced to disqualify himself from the Colonial because he tests positive for COVID-19. So what a roller coaster month for John Rahm. And yet here he is back at number one in the world, sitting on his first major win. Lot in the golf world. Observers, analysts, experts believe it's the first of many. Thank you, as always, for voting for our Man Crush Monday. We call it our Player of the Week, brought to you by Grainger. The Player of the Week was sponsored by Grainger for all the ones who get it done. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support and access to product experts. Call, click Grainger.com/safety, or just stop by. We're going to squeeze in a few more phone calls before we get to the top of the hour. But in light of what happened in Major League Baseball, it's a brand new era. The Sticky Brigade is on patrol. We had a chance to catch up with former big league hitter and now Houston Astros TV analyst Jeff Blum. He's always so honest, and he always gives such great insight when it comes to big league hitting. And now what hitters are facing with pitchers who are using sticky substances. But, you know, he played in the 2000s, and so I had to start out by asking him, how was it when he played? What substances were popular going back to those days when he was standing in a batter's box?
It was just pine tar. You know, towards the end of my career is when the sunscreen started to, you know, come in. I believe, bullfrog was one of those things. The spray-on, sunblocks were the ones that were the most tacky. And having played at Minute Maid Park with a retractable dome, having played in Arizona to end my career with a retractable dome, we always found it kind of odd that guys would have sunscreen on with a dome stadium.
Is it a realistic goal to be able to wipe it out of Major League Baseball?
I think it is unrealistic to just try and wipe it out of baseball because, we know in watching these games in any league where, you know, you're trying to perform within the parameters of the rules that are being enforced, and the evolution of sport says that guys are going to try and find a way to compete the best they can. And if it means bending the rules or trying to get by the rules, they're going to try it. But to do it in the middle of a season is the one that really kind of catches me off guard and makes me wonder if it's actually going to be one of the smarter things they've done. Because stopping cold turkey in the middle of a season is a pretty drastic and a panicked move for Major League Baseball to go out there and do. I know that guys are increasing spin rates at an unbelievable rate, But at the same time, hitters haven't done much to adjust as far as trying to beat the shift or cutting down with two strikes and becoming better hitters. They just continue to as hard. And with pitchers throwing harder more often, it seems like the hitters are just swinging harder and harder also instead of adjusting.
So then if that's the case and hitters actually could make adjustments, do you think that the sticky substances are not having as great an impact as what baseball believes or as maybe as what fans believe, depending on what you read and what you listen to?
Oh, yeah. Well, the fans, you know, and Major League Baseball has this idea of what's going to be entertaining the fans as opposed to understanding that fans of baseball just love the purity of the game and guys going out and competing. I think the fact that Major League Baseball is constantly trying to put their hand in there and try and alter the game is what's creating some of these issues, because the reason that pitchers are using the tacky stuff is because the baseball is constantly changing. The baseball is not the same from year to year. These guys, pitchers don't know what they're working with until they show up during a season. And that's why it's another thing. They've adapted to using a baseball that is wound tighter, has lower seams, and the only way they could figure out a way to get a grip and have consistent spin is by using spider tack or, you know, or pine tar or some of these other substances. And to stop this in the middle of the season, the pitchers are basically going to have to reteach themselves how to go out there and pitch and how to create, you know, movement in their pitches without using the tacky stuff. So, you know, it's kind of things moving against pitchers a little bit, but it's because baseball has kind of lost control of the game a little bit and they want more offense involved. So what do? They stop the ability to use the spider tack in the middle of the season. And you probably will see offensive numbers get a little bit bigger here in the next couple of weeks.
Jeff Blum played in the 2000s, won a World Series with the White Sox in 2005. We always enjoy having him here on the show after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know what the adjusted numbers are, Jeff, but about a month ago or so, Major League Baseball was on track to have its worst batting average in history over the course of a season. Is it as simple as there's something on the baseball? I mean, come on, it can't really be that simple, is it?
So there's two entities involved in trying to figure this thing out. Yes, pitchers are spinning a little bit more, and they've become better. But hitters on the other side, trying to use the analytic numbers to get their on-base percentage up, trying to get their slugging percentage up. But there's also shifts that are being instituted in the game also that hitters are not trying to beat. It's not too often that we see guys adjusting their swing or adapting their approach to go out and try and beat the shift. So hitters, essentially have basically given up and said, I'm just going to try and hit the ball over everybody's head or hit it as hard as I possibly can so that I can get my exit velocities up, I can get my launch angle up, and try and beat the shifts that way instead of trying to beat them by becoming better hitters. And with as hard as the velocity is that pitchers are throwing with and as much spin as they create, and no hitter has a two-strike approach, that's why you're seeing teams who are unable to catch up to some of the pitches that pitchers have nowadays, and that's why you're seeing a lot more of the strikeouts going up. And it's been incredible to see over the last couple of months to see strikeouts going up and hits not going up. That's what's kind of frightening to me, and I think that's frightening to Major League Baseball too, because the ball's not being put in play.
It's sort of comical, though, for officials to greet Jacob DeGrom as he's walking off the mound after his first inning, right? So he faces three hitters, he gets his third out, he's walking off the field, and he's got officials coming up to him asking him to check his, you know, his glove, his hat. He even has to unbuckle his belt to show them there's nothing on his belt buckle. I mean, come on, that's a little bit melodramatic.
It really is, and we had the same situation tonight with the Astros in Baltimore where Jake Odorizzi went out there, struck a couple of the guys out in the first inning, and immediately is greeted by the home plate umpire, Angel Hernandez, and
wow,
the crew chief Ted Barrett. So, you know, there's a unique combination in itself right there. But, you know, Ted Barrett came over, and they check his glove, they check his hat, and they did the same thing. They made him unbuckle his belt and look at it. And Ted Barrett kind of had this sheepish grin on his face like, I got to do this. I know it's awkward, but we got to do this. And they both had a conversation, and they kind of walked away with a smile on their face going, this is where we're at in Major League Baseball, where we're physically getting our hands on guys and basically checking them before they get on a flight to go somewhere.
Wow. When Tyler Glasnow says that him having to adjust his grip is the reason that he got injured, do you think that's a valid point or a possibility?
I think each guy individually, you need to take into account, you know, history and things like that. But, you know, I know that Tyler has had issues with that right elbow and maybe has relied on pitching with, you know, some tackiness or a little extra help with the substance to get a better grip to make his pitches that much better. But I think taking that away and forcing him to grip the ball differently, if there was an issue inside that elbow, is what probably exacerbated it or kind of sped it up a little bit getting to that injury, unfortunately. Because if you have a lighter grip with more sticky tackiness on your fingers and you're still able to spin and you take that tackiness away, of course the pitcher's going to have to grip a little bit harder and put a little more pressure on those fingers, which in turn, going down the forearm into the elbow, will put more pressure on that UCL ligament that a lot of these pitchers are having to have be repaired for Tommy John surgery.
Jeff Blum, former big league hitter, World Series champion, and now a member of the Astros TV crew. They're back on site for home games, but working from a studio for road games. He's got great insight, and there's more to it. I actually asked him about the claims from some pitchers that it's not fair to punish them and suspend them if the Astros didn't get suspended or punished for their role in the 2017 sign-stealing scheme. So good stuff. Check out the rest of it on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com, updated every weekday morning. Let's do one quick call here. Maybe we'll deciding how quickly would be up to Bruce. Bruce, how quickly can you make your point?
I can make it real quick.
Okay, go.
All right. I was at the game 6 as a Father's Day gift from my kids and wife.
Nice.
I want to make an thank you. I want to make an observation, and that is, you know, I didn't play professional basketball. I didn't even play, you know, college basketball. I ran track and field. There's one thing I can recognize, and that is if somebody is coachable, then you can work with them. Now, here's what I observed. At halftime, at the Sixers game against Atlanta, Ben Simmons came out and was shooting foul shots. Now, you and I both know that Howard, the center, can't hit a basket from right on top. He was talking to his friends in the stands at halftime break, but Ben was on the line doing what he knew he needed to do better. So I observed that. I commend him for doing that. I think he's coachable, and I think that this is something that he can definitely get over if he is coachable. So that's my point, and thanks a lot for allowing me this point. I appreciate it.
I appreciate that, Bruce. What a cool gift, too, for Father's Day to be able to be at that Game 6 as fans are returning in droves. Yeah, Bruce makes a good point. We're not talking about a Ben Simmons who's entitled, a guy who thinks he's got it all figured out. No, you see his facial expressions, his body language. You recognize that he knows he screwed up. He knows that he didn't do his job as the point guard. He knows that with the games on the line and the series hanging in the balance, that he did not play the way that he needed to. And so he's already indicated that he has a lot of work to do this offseason. And I'm telling you, this is a huge deal to me. The fact that he's willing to stay home in Philadelphia from the Tokyo Olympics and not participate for Australia is a big deal. That's a report, hasn't been confirmed yet, but the Sixers want to work with him, and he's indicated that it's the most important thing to him this summer. And I would agree with Bruce. You know when a guy wants to fix whatever the problems are, and Ben Simmons certainly has come across that way. So I don't think it's worth throwing in the towel. I believe that there's far too much positive to just give up on the guy now, not to mention the investment the Sixers have made in him. So we shall see. Only time will tell, right? Have a great Tuesday. Thanks for all your calls, your tweets, your Facebook messages tonight. It's good to have you. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.